During your hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application shall be introduced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make a statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to the director, Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. You are not required to read your written statement. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. First application this afternoon is conditional use number 1832. It's an application of Hazard Auto Repair to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district for an auto repair shop and contractor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.404 acres, more or less, lying north of Road 280B, also known as Conley's Chapel Road, 100 feet east of Road 288, also known as Will King Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 10th of 2010. And in summary, for the benefit of council, I have passed down copies of the applicant's exhibit document, which was also presented to the commission on June 10th. I've also provided the council with a copy of the survey provided by the applicant at that time. And I've also provided a copy of the summary and comments made by the opposition on June 10th. And that packet of information included a cover letter, a letter in opposition, petition containing 318 signatures in opposition, 19 pages of yellow pages referencing auto body and auto repair services, a series of photographs of the area roadways, home, cemetery, applicant's business in Lewis, and aerial photographs of the area from Google Maps. And I will pass down the photographs, so I try to keep those separate. So all that's been passed down. I did receive, before I go into a summary of my report, I received a letter yesterday from Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association on behalf of Hazard Auto Repair, and they asked that this letter serve as notice that the applicant is withdrawing the request for the four contractor storage buildings and that the conditional use request is now only for an auto repair shop. And they also attached proposed conditions for the auto repair shop. The council also has a copy of that document. So in summary, for June 10th of 2010, I did reference the exhibit booklets. The council does have a copy of my report, and it includes a summary of the DLDOT comments from October 22nd of 2008, the DLDOT comments that were revised and received on June 10th of 2010, the summary of the June 4th, 2010 comments from the Sussex Conservation District, as well as the June 7th, 2010 comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. The minutes also, report also references the letter received from Margaret Smith and Eleanor Bennett in opposition to the application. It also includes a summary of what the applicant stated, being Michael Hazard, who was present, and Tim Willard, the attorney on his behalf, and also seven parties that spoke on behalf of the 74 people that were present in opposition, in summary of what they stated. And for the record, on June 10th, the commission deferred action for further consideration to allow Mr. Johnson, one of the commission members, to review the record and decide if he wants to participate in the decision-making process. On June 24th, the commission again discussed the application under old business and deferred action again, since Mr. Ross, who was present during the public hearing, since Mr. Ross was absent the evening of the 24th, and to allow Mr. Ross to participate in the discussion of the application when a decision is rendered, and that motion carried 4-0. And to date, I've received no additional comments from any agency or individual on this application. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions by the council?
Those pictures, those photographs are not labeled. Who submitted those?
The opposition.
Mm-hmm.
There were photographs of some of the residents in the area, the cemetery, some signage, and the site, and also the site of the Mr. Hazard's business in Lewis.
Okay, and DLDOT's comments, where are they?
They're in summary in my report, the bottom two paragraphs on first page.
All right, very.
And what I did there, I basically summarized what they say, but it's the actual fact that was under contention.
Okay.
They had two different comments, October 22nd of 08, and then again on June 10th, so the correction on, they had only referenced one road on the first comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, Mr. Fuquay.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant, Michael Hazard, of Hazard Auto Repair. Mr. Hazard apparently has been delayed in arriving here, but I expect him here shortly. This is a conditional use application that was originally filed in December of 2008. As was stated, the original application was for an automobile repair shop and four contractor storage buildings. And after consideration of the comments that were made at the planning and zoning hearing, it was determined to drop the request for the four contractor buildings from the conditional use application. As Lawrence stated, there was a letter submitted to the planning and zoning office yesterday giving notice of that fact. So the conditional use application before you today is for an auto repair shop only. The site is located on the north side of Conley Chapel Road, which is County Road 280B, 100 feet east of Wilking Road, which is County Road 288. Mr. Hazard owns a parcel of land located there containing 5.45 acres. The land currently has an existing dwelling, a garage, an existing block building, a chicken house, and a mobile home located on the 5 acres. As I stated, the request for the contractor's buildings have been dropped, so only the front area is being utilized for the conditional use. And that reduces the conditional use area from approximately 2.4 acres to 1 acre. And let me just show you what
Mr. Fuquay, may I suggest that you may want to turn that around momentarily so that people present can see that as well.
Turn that speaker around so it aims out that way to him. Yeah, turn that one around that way.
This is the area that's being removed.
The plan is to remove the existing dwelling and garage from the property and construct a 55-foot by 60-foot addition to the existing block building, which is 35 feet by 23 feet. And this would be utilized for the auto repair shop and office. There'd be a designated parking area, which would be located to the rear of the property and to the side of the building. The bay doors for the repair shop would be located to the rear of the building, with only pedestrian doors located in the front. Landscaping would be planted along the residential property lines and in front of the building. The site has an existing on-site septic system and well, which were utilized in connection with the residence, and that would be used for the shop. DelDOT indicated in their site evaluation report that no TIS was required and that the application had a minor impact on traffic, and that, of course, was based on the application that included the contractor's buildings. So with the dropping of the contractor buildings, the traffic impact will be less and really will be very minimal. Entrance to the site is from Connolly Chapel Road, and that would be using the existing entrance to the property where it is now. This is a revised application for an auto repair shop as a conditional use. As you know from the zoning ordinance, conditional uses are uses that are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of their nature, they require the exercise of planning judgment as to their location and their site plan. This is such an application and such a use. I think everyone here on occasion who has a car has utilized auto repair shop, and they know how essential and desirable it is when you need to have a car fixed or your car breaks down. So the issue isn't so much the use, but as in many cases, it's the location. At the planning and zoning hearing on June 10th, about 75 people appeared in opposition to the original application. And a petition was signed by over 300 people was submitted by the opposition. So if this conditional use application was determined based on popularity, if that was the legal land use standard the council used to make a conditional use decision, then Mr. Hazard would lose and the proposed use of his property would be denied. I'll certainly concede that. But this isn't a popularity contest. It's a land use decision. And a land use decision tries to find a fair balance between the rights of the neighbors and area residents to have their residential uses protected and the rights of the property owner to utilize his property in a reasonable and productive fashion that doesn't interfere with his neighbor's uses. And what that requires is a careful review of the facts, because it's the facts, not fears, that your decision should be based on. And here's what I believe the facts are. Under the comprehensive plan of Sussex County, the area where the repair shop is located is designated as a mixed residential area. That area is one of the seven types of growth areas designated by the plan as a growth area. The land is zoned GR, and it's been zoned GR for some time. Conditional uses for business and commercial purposes for land zoned GR are authorized by the Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance. As I said, the original application, which included the four contractor storage buildings, that portion of the application, the storage buildings, was located in the low-density area of the comp plan. But that has been dropped, so the proposed site for the automobile repair facility is entirely within the growth area. Now, Mr. Hazard currently operates Hazard Auto Repair on Savannah Road in Lewis. Business does general automobile maintenance and repair. Mr. Hazard has operated that business at that location for approximately 20 years. He owns the business, but he rents the building and property at that location. His business involves the repair of various mechanical automobile problems and numerous emergency type situations when somebody's car breaks down. But being a mechanic, he also does other work that I would call project work, rebuilding motors, doing custom work. He works on street cars and classic cars and things of that nature. Mr. Hazard's business does not do automobile painting, and it does not do automobile bodywork. While at this new location, he does plan to do general mechanical work. He also plans to basically direct the longer-term project cars to this new site, where he'll have more room, and that's basically what he lacks at the Lewis site, room for these cars that actually are there for a longer period of time. He has no plans to close the Lewis business. This will be a secondary shop to his Lewis facility. Now, of course, big question is why this location? And he picked this location on Conley Chapel Road for a rather obvious reason, and that is that he owns the 5.5-acre parcel. And in addition to that, there is some history to the property, which I think is relevant. His land is part of a farm that was bought by the Hazard family in approximately 1890. And it was farmed by the Hazard family and passed down through the family for the past 120 years. Mr. Hazard's father actually built the block building that will be part of the shop in the 1950s. And he used it to build truck bodies. He repaired motors. He did welding. And he used it to repair farm equipment, both for his farm as well as neighboring farmers. Crops were grown and chickens were raised on the farm, and the family home was also located there. Basically, that land is still in the Hazard family, and I'd like to refer to a tax map to give you an idea of who owns what. The tax map that's being passed down, the site marked in yellow is the location of the proposed automobile repair shop. It's that area right there. The area outlined in blue includes that approximate 1-acre parcel as well as the remaining lands that make up the 5.5 acres that Michael owns. The area marked in red is a lot that's owned by Michael's brother, Stephen. Both Michael's land and Stephen's land were deeded to them by their parents, came from the farm parcel. The large area in purple with the purple stripes across it is the remainder of the farm property. Contains about 22 acres, and it's owned by Michael's mother, and that land is still farmed. And then the 2 acres in purple that's located on the other side of Conley's Chapel Road is owned by Mrs. Hazard, Michael's mother, and Michael. They both live there. It's their residence. And in fact, Mrs. Hazard has resided there for approximately 47 years. Taking the tax map and putting it into real terms, if you look at the second handout that I gave there, which is an aerial photograph, you can see that I kind of wrote the black line around the site where the shop would be. But as you can see from the aerial, Mrs. Hazard and Michael's residence is located directly across Conley Chapel Road. The brother's property is to the left. Michael's property runs back to the right. That's a chicken house that you see on the photograph, and then the farm field is located further to the rear. So the hazards, as you can plainly see from the aerial photograph, are the ones that are most immediately impacted by this proposed use, and basically are the ones that have been in this area predating almost everyone else. Now, I mentioned earlier that it's your responsibility to determine if there's an appropriate balance that protects the area residents and addresses their concerns, and also protects the rights of the property owner to utilize his property in a reasonable and productive manner. And we believe that this application, as amended, accomplishes that balance. Mr. Hazard has dropped the contractor storage buildings, and the reason that was dropped was basically he acknowledged that that proposed use was a more intense use, and would be bringing things into the area that really aren't there previously. Particularly, there would be additional truck traffic that would cause. There would be potential storage of materials. There was certainly expressions made that people were concerned with the unknown nature of the business. They didn't know who would be using these facilities. And by dropping the contractor's buildings, it significantly reduces the impact of the proposed conditional use. It also, as I mentioned, limits the use of the land to the growth area of the comprehensive plan and does not impinge into the low-density area. The second thing I want to mention is, as you know, conditional uses can have conditions placed on them to control the use, and at my conclusion, I'll submit to you some proposed conditions to be placed on the conditional use to basically ensure minimal impact of the use. But I will state that those conditions would include a limitation on the hours, which would be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, no Sunday hours. There would be landscaping placed along the residential boundaries of the property. The bay entrance would be located in the rear, so it would not be really visible from the Conley Chapel Road. There would be no outside storage except for motor vehicles, which would be parked in designated parking spaces. The maximum number of employees, which would include Mr. Hazard, would be 3. And that would, in effect, control the size of the operation and ensure that it will operate on a small scale. Now, at the planning and zoning hearing, there were some complaints expressed over several different matters. One was potential drainage from the site of the contractor's buildings onto the lots in Chapel Green. And since that request has been withdrawn, basically that issue does not exist anymore because there will be no additional drainage. I do want to mention for the record, however, that statements were made that the Hazard's Farm drains onto some lots in Chapel Green subdivision. And that complaint actually is backwards. The natural drainage of the Hazard's property flows toward the area on that plan that shows where the chicken house is. And it also flows onto areas that are now parts of Chapel Green. That is the natural flow of stormwater in that area. And that is a right of a property owner. An adjacent property owner cannot interfere with the natural drainage of an adjacent property owner. That's basically a right of the dominant property. So the Hazard Farm doesn't drain onto Chapel Green. The developers of Chapel Green build a subdivision where the stormwater naturally flows. So the farm isn't the problem as far as stormwater. It's the stormwater infrastructure design at Chapel Green that causes any drainage problems in that area. There were also comments made about the appearance of the Hazard property. First, as I mentioned, Michael owns this parcel right here. He does not own this parcel here. To the extent the complaints are about that parcel, that's owned by Michael's brother. Michael doesn't control that piece, and that's beyond Michael's control. His property, Michael's property, does have an old chicken house that has been used for miscellaneous storage. There's also been vehicles and equipment that were stored there over the years. Its appearance was probably not unlike the appearance of many old chicken houses throughout Sussex County. But Mr. Hazard did not build that old chicken house next to Chapel Green. Chapel Green was developed and the homes were built next to that old chicken house. There was a statement made and an exhibit submitted at the planning and zoning hearing. I believe it was 19 pages of yellow page ads regarding various automobile businesses. I would say that from looking at it, they covered the whole gamut of automobile businesses, new car dealers, painting, bodywork, as well as mechanical repairs. But even if it was 90 pages of advertising, it's really irrelevant. In our economic system, the government doesn't decide if there are enough certain businesses. The marketplace decides who operates those businesses. And when someone works hard and develops a successful business over 20 years, that's the type of business that will succeed and prosper and should be encouraged. And lastly, there were people that, quite frankly, as happens, they just don't want this in their backyard. And all I can say to that is that this is not in their backyards. It's in the Hazard's backyard, and it's been in the Hazard's backyard, or it's been in the yard that's been the Hazard's backyard for over 100 years. The Hazards are the people that would be most impacted by this use, and I think that's obvious from the photograph, the aerial photograph that I showed. Michael lives across the street from the location. That will ensure that he'll be visible, or it'll be visible to him for security purposes and for maintenance purposes. I do have proposed conditions, which I'll submit to you, to Mr. Moore, and also proposed findings. And for the reasons that I've stated and with the conditions that we suggest, we think that this conditional use application, as revised, represents the balance of protecting the area residents while permitting the reasonable use of an owner's property. And quite frankly, that is exactly what the purpose of a conditional use is. So with that, that would conclude our presentation, and we will try to answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Fuqua, I might have missed it, but are there any plans to do anything with the chicken houses? Since this part of it, the application's been excluded, has there been any work on that, on the chicken house? Are they going to be taken down? Or? Because I did read that he was making improvements already on the property.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as with any old farm, it's a slow process. It's not a full-time job cleaning it up. Obviously, the plan was to convert the chicken houses into the storage facilities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was determined that, and agreed with the residents, that that was a more intense use that perhaps wasn't appropriate. So obviously that's not being done. And of course, these decisions have all been made just in the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say there isn't any plans that I'm aware of at this time yet, mm-hmm. not to say there won't be.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions from council? Mr. Fuqua, do you have any other witnesses or anyone that would like to testify?
No, other than I do want to introduce my client, Michael Hazard, who I didn't realize had come in. Michael, is there anything you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else here would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Right here. And would you state your name and address, please?
Good afternoon. My name is Ann Conlon. I live at 103 Alderleaf Court in the community of Chapel Green, Lewis. I'm here with the concerned residents of Chapel Green and Conley's Chapel Road. I'd like to give you an overview of the community's reaction to the proposal for Hazard Auto Repair. We would like to remind the council that this proposal is in a low-density level 4 area, an area in which it is our understanding that the state does not support development, an area in which the state will not provide financial support for infrastructure. In addition, Sussex County's comprehensive plans, future land use element, pages 318 and 3-19, include the following statements about permitted uses in low-density areas, and I quote, "The primary uses envisioned in low-density areas are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes. It also states more intense commercial uses, such as auto repair and gasoline sales, should be avoided in these areas." We've done a lot of work putting our response together. We've put together a written packet for each one of you, which I'll give out as soon as I'm finished. Members of our community have gone to each household in Chapel Green and visited homes in nearby Connolly's Chapel Road area with our petition. To date, 331 residents have signed that petition in opposition to the hazard order repair application. The petitions will be contained in the package you have now, and there's additional sheets in the package you'll receive in a moment. Five speakers are prepared to present our arguments to you. Before they do, I'd like to make a few brief comments regarding Mr. Hazard's request for conditional use and offer a few observations about street rods. Now, I know Mr. Hazard has withdrawn his request for four separate contractor storage units. But look, it appears R.F. Gentner is operating a business now on Mr. Hazard's property. Has this use been authorized by the Sussex County Council? In his previous testimony, Mr. Hazard said that he intended to build and repair street rods. What does a street rod look like? Well, here's a photo of what appears to be a street rod. It was parked in Mr. Hazard's driveway yesterday. I was present on the side of the road when Mr. Blessinger took this photo. I couldn't help but notice the street rod's extremely wide, oversized rear tires. I also noticed that the street rod was not displaying a tag. Is it registered? At this point, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge all of the concerned neighbors from Chapel Green and the Conley's Chapel Road area who are here today in opposition to the hazard order repair proposal. Would they please raise their hands now to be acknowledged? Would you like to do a head count?
Mr. Lank, are you making a head count?
What?
Are you making a head count?
I can.
Looks like a lot.
One hand now.
I'm sure the other applicants here today are thrilled.
Here to count them all and say how many stop. Got 35 on this side. You can put your hands.
Times
down.
Two.
You're all tired yet? Short person back there, too.
What's this to donate $500? Is that what you reach him for?
It looks like 40 on that side.
And me.
And yeah, 42. 41, sorry. 76.
Plus or minus.
Plus or minus.
Plus or minus.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to point out to the councilman and councilwoman that a lot of Chapel Green residents would like to speak this afternoon. However, in the interest of your time and ours, we've tried to condense our concerns using five speakers to present our arguments. Their comments will be concise, focused, and non-repetitive. Four of our speakers are residents of Chapel Green. One of our speakers is a Conley's Chapel Road resident. The speakers will include Pete Blessinger, John Novosel, Eleanor Bennett, Francis Mast, and Joe Hudak. Now, throughout our presentation, we will show that Mr. Hazard's application fails to meet the standards set forth in Sussex County Code 115-171 conditional use. And we encourage the council to deny his conditional use request. Thank you. Now I'm going to distribute the packets of additional information at this time. And after that, the next speaker will be Pete Blessinger.
If you can just give your information to Mr. Lank and he will distribute it. And Mr. Blessinger. And thank you for your indication that it's going to be concise and not repetitive.
Good afternoon, Madam Councilwoman, gentlemen, members of the council. My name is Peter Blessinger. I live at 11 Aspenwood Drive in the Chapel Green community in Lewis, Delaware. Obviously, everyone here knows that Sussex County has an extensive and elaborate zoning or use, land use regulation. Most of Connolly's Chapel Road is in the AR1 district, the small piece that's now before you concerning the garage is in the general use, general residential use area. However, I'd like to point out a third usage, which is in the zoning regulations to you, and that's the general commercial usage. That's 115-76, and that usage specifically authorizes the automobile and truck sales, service, repair, body, and fender shops. I'd like to draw your attention to the purpose provision of the AR1, and I realize that because the application has been amended, that all of the area that's now being requested is in the general residential area as opposed to AR1. However, I think this would be instructive to you in reaching your decision. And the purpose of the AR1 district is to provide a full range of agricultural activities and also to protect agricultural lands, and I'm going to quote here, from the depreciating effect of objectionable, hazardous, and unsightly uses. That particular provision goes on to say that the intent of this land use regulation is the protection of watersheds, water resources, and scenic values. And scenic values are one of the things that we're going to address here today. As was pointed out previously, this application is being made under 115-171. And again, I'd just like to reiterate a few phrases that I believe are important in that particular section. And one phrase is with full protection offered to surrounding properties. The other one is generally of a public or semi-public character. And the use should be essential and desirable for the general convenience. Now, the last time he spoke, actually, Mr. Hazard spoke at the planning and zoning meeting, and he said that he intends to work on and build street rods. That's been toned down quite a bit since the last meeting. Today we're talking about general automobile repairs. Last time he said street rods. And I want to ask you to think about whether the general community needs street rod repair. Oh, it's, I don't know if you people have street rods, but I don't know many people who have street rods. And I don't know that there's a great need. One of the other points I'd like to make is some people, you'll probably hear some complaints about the maintenance of the hazard, of Michael Hazard's land, and there'll be some photographs shown to you about that. And some people may say that's an unfair complaint, that that's how the land looked when these houses were built. And these houses were built 10, 12 years ago. So they're saying, well, gee, that's really unfair to say it might have been an unsightly view when that's the way it was, and you know it was that way when you came here. But the difference is that Mr. Hazard is asking you to grant him an exception. And isn't it proper for you, when you're considering this land use exception, that you could consider his stewardship of his land? And that's something I think these photos will give some indication of. Finally, I'd just like to let you know that I took all the photographs that are going to be presented by us, our side, and I've taken them within the last 3 weeks. And I also have downloaded some Google Earth images, which had been presented at the last meeting. I'll put those up on the board if I may. Thank you for your attention. I'd just like to point out that some of our speakers have been prepared to address the contractor storage issue, so they may not be able to pull out all those comments. So it's not in any intent to waste your time, and I'm very happy that he has withdrawn that application, but there may be some irrelevant comments to you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next speaker, and I would ask that to the extent possible, you pull any portions of your statement that would affect the portion of this that has been withdrawn. Okay, there was another speaker, I believe.
Good afternoon. My name is John Novosel. My wife and I, Linda, live at 32043 Conley Chapel Road. I live on a 14-acre parcel, this property, our drive coming in. I'd like to tell you a little about Conley's Chapel Road. It's short. It's just 1.8 miles long. There are no shoulders on either side. I'm a runner, and I often run the length of Conley's Chapel Road, as well as adjoining streets. I see it at a slow pace. I can tell you that it is very scenic and beautiful. There are no commercial uses on the road. With the exception of the property west of Wilking Road, I have not seen any objectionable, hazardous, or unsightly land uses. There is tremendous pride of ownership by all of the property owners along that road, as well as in Chapel Green. In the last several years, that scenic beauty along Conley's Chapel Road has been improved by many of those landowners. My neighbors to the right and left. On the right, the Lomases built a reproduction of the governor's mansion in Williamsburg, this property. To the right of them, the Palmers built a reproduction of the tavern and restaurant that's in Williamsburg. They built on 12 acres. The Lomases are on 9 acres. The Bischoffs, to the left of our property, built on 15 acres. The Zerbys built two doors down from us on 17 acres. This is in addition to all the 3 to 5 acre parcels on the south side, all along here. All of these homeowners have built have made considerable investment in their properties. Again, with an eye towards having a very pretty home on a very nice property. Before I retired, I had a 27-year background in residential real estate sales. I can tell you that certain objectionable uses, such as auto repair shops, loud vehicle noises, and proximity to traffic, commercial traffic, have an adverse effect on real estate values and the values of any neighboring properties. When valuing a property, appraisers must refer to comparable sales, just as real estate agents do. If a property sells for 5% of its intrinsic value because of a nearby objectionable use, other properties in the area also share in that lost value because of the use of these compounding comparable sales through time. From my travels around the nearby areas, there are at least 1,000 homes within a 4-mile radius of this conditional use application. If this use is approved, the impact would be a loss, I personally feel, of in between 3 to 5% of current home valuations. Mr. Hazard's attorney spoke of his client's family being impacted the greatest by this conditional use since they live on and across the street from it. However, this overlooks the negative impact on his immediate neighbors. While he would receive a modest increase in income, approximately 75 homes in Conley's Chapel Village, 200 homes in Chapel Green, 40 homes on large parcels along Conley's Chapel Road, 40 homes in Holly Oaks subdivision, the planned 116 homes in Oakwood Village on Wilking Road, and the council-approved development called Seabreeze, which has over 150 homes planned on Conley's Chapel Road. In other words, roughly 600 homes are going to lose between 3 to 5% of value if this use is approved. In closing, Mr. Hazard has made reference to his family having lived in the area for over 100 years. Quite frankly, I'm surprised that Mr. Hazard, as a long-term resident, would continue his conditional use application in light of the strong local opposition of hundreds of his neighbors. I appreciate Mr. Hazard dropping his plans for a contractor storage unit. I can only hope that he will reconsider his application, be a good neighbor, and pursue his future business prospects in current commercially zoned areas along Route 1, Long Neck Road, and 24 in Millsboro. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Novosel, you indicated your real estate experience. Are you currently, do you hold a license for real estate appraisal in Delaware?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
May I give you some pictures of homes along?
Yes, if you give those to Mr. Lank, please.
Thank you.
And I believe there was another speaker. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Eleanor Bennett. I live at 11 Ancient Oak Drive in Lewis. I've lived there for 11 years. I moved there with my husband, Charlie, in 1998. Charlie passed away last year. I'm 74 years old, and my only resources are Social Security and pensions. Before he passed, Charlie had Alzheimer's disease. Fortunately, I was healthy and was able to take care of him for 4 years. Toward the end, Charlie fell, and I had to put him in a nursing home. When Medicare ran out, I had to pay $7,500 a month for his care. I worry that if I become sick, I will need to take all the money that I have invested in my house. I am told that an unpleasant activity, such as auto repair shop, was near my home. My home resale value would go down. Last week, Mr. Blessinger took some photographs from my yard. Here are four photographs. I'm sorry. Here are four photographs. The first one is looking down the property line between my house and Mr. Hazard's. The second one, as you can see, the derelict blue golf cart. It appears that a piece of the roof of the chicken house is coming off. The third one shows a pile of rubbish, an old truck, and a red farm-all tractor. I don't know what the object is next to it. The fourth is a picture of a trailer that it looks to be rusting. I'm speaking today for others just like me. Margaret Smith, Jean Draper, Rosemary Hanyak, Patty Avery, Iris Holsinger. They are widows also, and they all face hazardous property. Thank you for your time. Please protect my property.
And was there another speaker?
Good afternoon. My name is Frances Mast. I live at 15 Autumnwood Way, and that's in Chapel Green. Now, we moved to our new home in 1999, and I'm very concerned about Mr. Hazard's plan to open his auto repair shop on Connie's Chapel Road. In his application papers, I see that he has provided a copy of the Sussex County Code 115-171, conditional use. On line 4, it does say, and I quote, "These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare." So I started to think, does this community really need an auto repair shop? I talked to my husband and to my neighbors, and no one could seem to find that there was any need for a car repair shop. I went to the telephone book, which I'm sure you have this information in front of you. We were discussing it, or I should say the gentleman who is the lawyer for Mr. Hazard had. It's in the yellow pages, and there are definitely about 40 repair shops in all the areas of Millsboro, Long Neck, Lewis, and Rehoboth. There's no shortage of any car-related shops. In fact, you could just drive down 24 to Highway 1, takes you 10, 15 minutes down the road, and you will find all through there are repair shops and storage areas. So I don't feel that his proposal that's in front of you really meets a community need, and it serves no community convenience. And well, maybe Mr. Hazard needed to open a new business to earn a living, because my husband has told me that Mr. Hazard already has a big garage in Lewis, and I remember passing the garage many, many times. You have photos of Mr. Hazard's current garage in Lewis. I then checked to see if there was a need for storage. Now, I realize that he has now abstained from using that in his proposal. But there is a commercial district which does have storage, and it's only about 2.5 miles away. It has a large spaces. And there's even areas here. And that's a whole commercial area. So I find it very illogical that anyone would want to do this in a residential area. Here are several photos that Mr. Blessinger had taken, and I will give you these. That Route 5 is also Hollyville Road, and there's very, very many vacant warehouse spaces, as indicated. I feel, therefore, there was no need for another auto repair shop. There doesn't seem to be any need for any more storage space either. I really thank you for listening to me. And may I say something, and I certainly don't wish to demean Mr. Hazard in any way. But my personal feelings are that if you had left your property in the mid-80s and did not utilize it and let it fall apart, that is not being a good steward of the land. Unfortunately, I feel doubtful that it will ever be any better than what it is now, I'm sorry to say. And I do apologize if I've hurt his feelings. So as even though he puts a code section that the conditional use would be essential, I understand now that he has reneged on that. And thank you for letting me speak to you. And hopefully you'll keep this a very, very nice residential area. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Was there another speaker in opposition? I see a hand in the back.
Good afternoon. My name's Joe Hudak. I live at 22 Oaks Oak Drive in Chapel Green. That's in Lewis. Because of Mr. Hazard drawing back his request for certain items, I'm going to be very short and sweet. My main concern is as far as Mr. Hazard repairing street rods on his property, my concern is the noise. I've worked on them myself in the past. Many times you try and use cutouts and things of that nature, and you want to have it tuned. But I'd just like to bring your attention to the fact that here in Delaware, the code 4311 speaks to mufflers, cutouts, noise, tampering with mufflers, ripping out baffles and things of that nature. So my main concern is if he still wants to do the street rods there, past experience shows that anybody who works on street rods, you're working to tune the engine. And many times you'll do that in an unmuffled state. So my concern right now is just simply, do we have any guarantee, if it is approved, that this is not going to take place? Because, again, it's in violation of the Delaware Code. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What was your name, sir?
Joe Hudak. Do you need the address?
Yes. Could you get that, please? Could you give the address?
Sure.
Please?
22 Ancient Oak Drive in Chapel Green.
Thank you. Ma'am, won't you come on up, please?
My name is Barbara Sampson, and I live at 31 Autumnwood Way in Chapel Green. I only had two concerns, and one is, are there going to be any above or underground gas tanks involved with this facility? And the second thing is, I'm sure Mr. Hazard is an excellent mechanic. And having said that, I wonder where will he test drive those street rods on our roads, which are already narrow and rural. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. I see one other hand.
My name is Gilbert Hentz. I live on 21982 Cypress Pond Lane, which is really a glorified driveway, but you made me turn it into a road. We live across from Conley's Church. And the worry that we have, my family and I, is that council has seen increasingly to make this area more residential. When we first moved in 15 years ago, there were 4 developments in the general area. Now there are 8 and 1 with approval that hasn't started yet. And by letting a conditional use for a business purpose to take place, you're setting a precedent. What's going to stop the next person to say, look, you let this one in, let our business in there? Many of us who live along Conley Chapel Road chose to live there because we didn't like town life. We wanted to be out there, sort of in the country. And you need to watch letting exceptions take place, because it'll be used as an excuse for putting another business in. And once you've opened up the door, everybody's going to try to come through. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, I would like to give my thanks to the audience for being courteous and respectful when everyone was speaking. Mr. Phillips, I think that it's appropriate to close the public hearing at this point. We cannot take final action on this matter because planning and zoning has not done so.
Okay. Public hearing is closed, and without objection, we'll close the public record. Is there a motion from council?
So moved.
To defer?
Moved to defer.
Is there a second? Motion and a second to defer this until planning and zoning can render a decision or 45 days eclipses and someone from council puts it on the future agenda. Any discussion? If not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Mr. Lank, before we start the next hearing, I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd like to leave now, and why don't we let them vacate the premises?
Right there. That's fine. Thank you. Commission, did you? We had 74. And when we got done, after they left, we still had 74. On the last one. Not the last one. The subdivision. But no, you didn't have to deal with that.
That's always funny. That's a funny life, you know what I mean? Gracious sakes. That's the worst thing somebody does, you're in good shape. The worst thing somebody does, you're in good shape.
Was it going to be 7 8? I'm going to back road back here. But that's just because you said affordable, they go.
They get cheap out of work.
It's hard to tell when we get down.
I think she's pretty now. Yeah.
We're just not so late. Next year, Sam.
Okay, I'm going to let you have this back.
I got her here.
Do something for Lawrence.
Give Lawrence all that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. The next application is conditional use number 1833. The application of David O. Rickards to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an assembly plant for underwater turbines to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 15.38 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Route 367B, also known as Rickards Road, 2,230 feet northeast of Road 370, also known as Daisy Road. For the benefit of council, I have passed down copies of the survey of the property. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application also on June 10th of 2010. We had received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We also received an email from Raymond Burke voicing objection to the application. We also received a petition in opposition through the fax, and that petition was signed by 7 individuals in opposition. David Rickards was present and gave testimony on behalf of his application. One person spoke in support, and there were two parties spoke in opposition to the application, giving testimony. They also submitted 6 photographs showing area roadways. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission deferred action on June 10th of 2010. On June 24th of 2010, the commission discussed the application under old business. In deferred action, since Mr. Ross was present during the public hearing, since Mr. Ross was absent the evening of the 24th, and to allow Mr. Ross to participate in the discussion of this application when the decision is rendered. I have received through fax 14 signatures in favor of this conditional use application requested by David Rickard, and that's basically what all of them said. They were signatures, and I will pass that down for a council review. It's basically a fax with signatures on information mailed to and from. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions from council? If not, Mr. Rickards, like come forward, state your full name and address, and then give us your presentation.
Okay, the name is David O. Rickards. Address is 34612 Rickards Road, Frankfort, Delaware. And basically, the first time I appeared before the planning and zoning on the 10th, I didn't realize that there were going to be neighbors that were against my request. And sequentially, I went through and talked to many of my neighbors and got several signatures, 14 pages of them, some three on each page, some two. But basically, most of my neighbors are in favor of the conditional usage permit. Basically, what I'm trying to do is utilize one of my old chicken houses, about one half of it, as a maintenance shop. We're going to, since I initially applied, when I initially applied back in 08, we were thinking about having an assembly plant there. Since then, talking to SCORE and a few other groups, they more or less got me in contact with 08 Newton and Miller Middle over to Bridgeville. We're now having the turbines built at their facility, and we're only going to do a maintenance at this facility. Basically, what the maintenance boils down to is every 2 years we bring the turbines back in, we pull them apart, put new bearings, bushing seals, and gaskets, put them back together, and chip them back out. So there's not going to be any noise. I used to have four chicken houses in operation, so there's not going to be as many trucks going in and out as there was back then, and the trucks will be limited to regular working hours, 8 to 4. As far as employees, if everything goes as well as possible and we go nationwide, within 13 years, we may have as many as 30 employees. 3 years from now, we should hire our first employee, and hopefully we'll expand from there. So we're not looking at additional traffic on the road. Actually, be less traffic than it was when I had the chicken houses in operation. The chicken houses are in the far back of the land so that there's not going to be even a view of the maintenance shop from the road, because I've got over 1,000 red cedar trees encircling the chicken houses and most of my land. It's a good buffer zone. It was supposed to be a best management BMP, what they called it for the forum. So a best management practice actually is giving me a really nice, shall we say, curtain from my neighbors. Like I say, basically all we're doing is doing a maintenance on the equipment and shipping it back out. We're not going to be expanding beyond that because we have no need to. If we go nationwide, naturally we'll have regional facilities because of the cost of transportation. So I don't know what else to say other than I don't think that I'm going to hurt the value of the properties next to me. Like I say, there's no waste material coming out of there. I'll naturally have to, because I don't have sewer, build one of those mounds and have more regular septic on there. But beyond that, already have the water and everything else from where I had the poultry operation. As far as security lights, I already have security lights there on the chicken houses, all I'll need for that. So I really don't see where I'm going to cause any interference with values and our noise and our traffic.
Mr. Rickards, you indicated the chicken houses. Are you going to, do you have any chickens, any poultry operation going on now at all?
No, Mr. Perdue decided that we were too close to a new development called the Millville by the Sea that was supposed to be a 3,000 house development, which has never really gotten off the ground. I think they got maybe 24 houses on there totally at the current time. But they're within a half a mile from my land. And for whatever reason, Perdue decided to call this a red zone and did not want to grow chickens in that area and dropped me about 3.5 years ago.
You indicated that the map shows four chicken houses. You're referring to maybe half of one of the chicken houses using initially. Which one would you be using?
The one closest to my house.
Are there any questions of council?
Well, the intent then is to use, just start out with half, and then eventually as you grow, you're going to use the next half, and then use as many as you need of the chicken houses. Is that what you're...
Well, basically, if we grow to the point that we hope to, we will be using one full house.
What's he going to do?
Currently, I have my antique truck and my wood splitter and my wood in another house, my tractor and other materials in another house, and the other house is basically just got the remainder of the equipment that I haven't been able to dispose of yet.
There's a number of industrial parks. County's got one. Selbyville's got one, like Seaford and different places. Did you consider going to those, any of those places?
I have. I went to Seaford. They had a building for sale for $600,000. I can put a cement floor and walls and everything in 10,000 square foot, which is a half of a chicken house, for just a little over $65,000. So basically, financially, it made sense to me to apply for the conditional usage in my own backyard on buildings that I already have.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Any other questions from council?
Here's another one. Our land use plan basically says commercial uses in the ag district should be ag-related. Your turbines are going to be used where? Who's using your turbines?
Basically, industrial sites. Power plants that have cooling towers, rendering plants, wastewater treatment plants.
Anything with a lot of water coming out of them, you're saying?
Anything with a lot of water coming out of it, yes.
All right.
Of course, they can be also, futuristically be utilized in rivers, even little sections of water like we call it a thymic ditch. I don't know what the heck is considered. It goes between the Esmond Bay and the bay there behind Ocean City. It's got enough current that we could probably run Harpoon Hannes. There are several locations in the state where these turbines can be used.
Okay, there isn't any grant money from the state or anything, any assistance where they would help you go get a location maybe that's more like suitable or...
They offered us 25% of the cost of our initial program down to the NRG power plant, which did not cover any of the preliminary engineering, none of the engineering evaluations required by NRG. They gave us a minor grant. We're still looking at trying to find the additional monies privately needed to complete that project. That'll be our first project since we have run into several difficulties in the past. We had a project in Alaska utilizing the Yukon River back in 2003. We had all the permits, the money was in hand, working with the University of Alaska and Power and Telephone. And the administration came in January of 2004, took all the monies back out of that little fund, put it back into the general fund, and re-earmarked it for oil, gas, and coal only, which cost us over $100,000, and we've never recuperated from that yet.
I can say one thing, George. These chicken houses, if I was his neighbor, I'd rather have these turbines, because I can tell you one thing, you're probably going to work what, through the week. You'll not be working after midnight. And you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, which I raised chickens for years, and feed trucks coming in, tractor trailers, all this noise and everything else, and all the smell, odor. My wife said, we said years ago, we got about 6 months, and we were going back into it. My wife looked at me and said, are you crazy? And now when I go by a chicken house, it's the stinkiest place you can go by to sit.
Sam,
it's really what people put
Sam, up with. That's the smell of money. Now, stop
that's
that
what I always
said.
I have a smell of money. Sure. And if you put up with it, it is money one time. But have these fans that blows out probably for hundreds of feet.
Okay, I understand.
Where's their neighbor? So I would say, you know, I could see this investment this man has got. George, he's got a big investment, in case you don't know it, in buildings there that I think he ought to utilize. That's the way I feel about it. I don't think it's fair to say, and it was partly commercial. Let me tell you, to raise chickens for somebody else, you're partly a commercial business.
You have to get a commercial loan, yes.
Absolutely. You go right to a commercial loan, and I've been in this business. I understand where you're coming from, and I can understand that if I was your neighbor, I'd be glad. I said, go ahead, Mr. Rickards, you go ahead and you build your turbines. And that'd be bad turbines. Me not want you as my neighbor over a chicken house. I can tell you that. That's how I feel about it.
I'm glad to hear how you feel today.
Anything else, Mr. Rick?
Well,
anything else?
You need something to think about when you think about these.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application?
You can sit down.
Anyone here to speak in favor of it? If not, is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this application, sir? Please give us your name and address.
Hey, my name is Mark West. I live at 34804 Rickards Road. I'd like to thank the council for this opportunity to speak in opposition. I've lived on Rickards Road for just close to 44 years of my life. Okay, I purchased a property about a mile down the road from my mom's house, and that's where I decided to raise my family. There's approximately 30 other property owners on that street. The street runs about a mile long, okay? In those houses, we have the elementary, middle school, and high school represented, which means we have buses which will be running on those roads in those hours that he will be operating, okay? I feel that this zoning change would change the character of our road. When we had the planning and zoning meeting on the 10th, it was expressed that there would be approximately 100 trucks a year coming up and down the road compared to the number of trucks that he had when he had chickens in his houses. Rickards Road is a tar and chip road. It measures 19 feet 7 wide. Route 17, it has no shoulders and there are no markings on the road. Route 17 measures 37 foot 2 wide. It has a shoulder on both sides with marking. The Seville Industrial Park is 7 miles up the road, and the streets in the Seville Industrial Park measure 30 feet 1 inch wide. That's designed for a business like Mr. Rickards plans on doing, okay? Currently, his property is for sale, so that if Mr. Rickards is able to sell his property with the conditional zoning, that new owner, which could be O.A. Newton, could come in there and set up an entire factory on 15 acres. And he could utilize the entire 4 chicken houses as well as whatever else he wanted to put in there. That's something that's for an industrial park. When you bring those turbines in there to be serviced, when you put something in the water like that, I guarantee you barnacles and slime are going to attach to those turbines, and that's going to be cleaned off. And if that's not waste, and when that bakes in the sun, I'd rather smell a chicken house than that myself personally. We don't have the infrastructure on Rickards Road like you do in an industrial park. We have no places to get lunch. I don't know how having 30 employees driving cars in the morning to get there, leaving to get lunch, coming back from lunch, and leaving to go home is not going to increase the traffic. If you could show me that, I would be impressed. I think that changing this zoning would set a precedence for any other property owner on that street to change their zoning, and it turns from being an agricultural residential district to being an industrial park, and we already have those areas set up in the county. I'm not opposed to the plan that Mr. Rickards has. I just think that there's a place for his plan. When you put 6 inches of concrete in that chicken house to support that turbine that's got to be worked on, you can't tell me the weight of that turbine being pulled down that tar and chip road is not going to roll that street right up. I submitted photos of Rickards Road. It's a tar and chip road and the spider web spots. And granted, the day after we had that meeting, they re-tar and chipped our road. It looks great now, but the same potholes are there. And they're going to pop right back up as soon as that tar and chip rolls right off the sides like it always does. So those are my concerns, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, question. I asked the applicant. The land use plan states that the ag district, when we have conditional uses in there, should complement the ag uses should be in the type of conditional uses we should be putting in these ag districts. Or so. Anyway, do you think that what he wants to do will complement the ag district, support it or in any way? Or
I don't see how these turbines are related to agriculture at all. Okay. I mean, I'm all for going green, but take the green and do it in an industrial park. It doesn't have to be done in my backyard. That's all I have. I have a 1 acre parcel on Rickards Road, and that's all I have. I'm a self-employed electrician. When I'm done and when I'm gone, that's all my kids have is that right there. That's it.
Thank you. I think I saw someone else's hand. Would you like to speak too, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time. My name is Don Sousa. I moved to Rickards Road 2 years ago. I purchased my property. It's less than an acre. 5 years ago. I moved there because it was zoned agriculture, residential. I had no idea that someone would want to put a plant on my road, which is, you know, just over a mile long. I don't know how you would do refurbishing of these this type of equipment without making any noise or having machinery doing that through the day. I've invested, I moved from the District of Columbia area out to here. I put my life savings into buying this property to leave to my kids and grandkids. And I just ask you all, before you make a permanent decision on changing this zoning, to please consider the people on my street. I don't know about the 14 names Mr. Rickards got. Everyone I've talked to on my street has been against it. With the Millville by the Sea, it seemed like the county wanted to make this into a residential area. Revenues from Millville by the Sea, if it ever did take off, would far exceed what Mr. Rickards has to offer. Like Mark, I'm all for jobs, I'm all for green, but I think there's a place to do all this stuff where there are major truck routes, and places for employees to go up and down the road.
And you were aware when you moved to an agricultural district there would be smells and
yes, things yes, sir.
Like that?
You yeah, I'm yeah. okay with hey, the chicken farm is fine. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You get used to it.
Okay.
That's all I had to say. I would really like you to consider not changing the zoning for me. I appreciate
it. How do you spell your last name?
S-O-U-S-A.
Got it right.
Yeah. No relation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
Yeah. Good. I got it really watching.
Hi,
I'm not a public speaker, excuse me. My name is Pat Campbell. I live at 34692 Rickards Road. And my family and I moved in there about 5 years ago, knowing that it was agricultural, chickens, the whole bit. My husband grew up in the area. And truthfully, I don't mind the smell of chicken. My husband, my son, they all say that's the smell of money. I mean, that's what the area is. Nothing against Mr. Rickards. I wish him all the luck in the world. But my land is right next door to Mr. Rickards, and I would much rather have the chicken houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else like to speak in opposition to this application?
Sam, how do you like that, Sam?
Hard to believe in a letter from my neighbor.
If you would like to give that to Mr. Lank.
They don't think I have chicken again.
And it will be made part of the record.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Council. My name is Kim West. I live at 34804 Rickards Road, and my concern is for the children as a mother. We have a child as young as 6 months on our road, and then we have two new drivers, one 18, one about 19. There are approximately 20 children on that one-mile stretch. The road is used for their recreation and fun. We have families on bicycles. And I do know a couple months ago that the grandmother that lives at the residence under Howard Hitch on Rickards Road had an accident with a delivery truck who was rushing from another business that has been granted conditional use in our land, which is Spasato Landscaping. And she ended up in the front of Mr. Rickards' property. Her automobile was wrecked to the point of being condemned, and she was knocked out, and her grandchild that she was taking to school at that time was also injured. So we have no speed limit signs on that road, and it is narrow at 19 feet and 7 inches. And with three buses running on that road at different times during the school year, my concern is for our children. We don't need extra traffic on a residential road. Thank you.
They just handed me something, and you brought it up, the Pizzato. They didn't originally own that. How did that happen? Did they get on?
The original owner was a neighbor that we had who started into a lawn mowing company, and he came to all of us and said that he'd like to expand his business, and he asked if we would support him if he received a conditional use for his property. He has about, I think, 5 acres over there, maybe a little more. So Spasato Landscaping came in after this gentleman sold his land, which we were not aware that he would be doing that. He sold the land, and out of ignorance, we didn't realize that conditional use goes with the next owner as well. So, yes, so now we have Spasato, and yes, we are lucky. They've been a very good company there, and you could say that their business is agriculturally related in what they do. But again, they were part of the delivery truck. The delivery driver had been at the wrong wrong property. He was supposed to be at their other location, and in rushing, he caused the accident that rear-ended Mrs. Hitch, my neighbor, and caused the damages that took place.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, it would be appropriate to close the public hearing.
Okay. If there's no objection from council, we'll also close the public record. I believe we need to defer on this.
That is correct, Mr. President.
Could I get a motion to that effect?
You got it.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to defer on this application for planning and zoning renders a decision or 45 days goes past. Any further discussion? Not, we'll take a vote. Ms. Deva?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carry.
That's it.
Thank you. Mr. Lank?
Yes. Next application was conditional use number 1834. The application of Richard Lynham to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for seasonal storage of umbrella stands to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9,625 square feet, more or less, lying northwest of Hebron Road, also known as Road 273, across from Canal Crossing Road and being the northeast portion of Lot 89 and the southwest portion of Lot 90. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 10th, 2010. We received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, and the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We received petitions and letters in support containing 25 signatures of area residents. Richard Lynham was present with Harold Duke's attorney with Tunnel and Razor and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. So we had six parties present and that spoke in opposition to this application and gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. On June 10th, the commission did defer action for further consideration and allow time for Mr. Johnson to review the record and decide if he wants to participate in the decision-making process. On June 24th, 2010, the commission again discussed the application under old business and again deferred action since Mr. Ross was present during the public hearing, since he was absent during the evening of the 24th, and to allow Mr. Ross to participate in the discussion of this application when a decision is rendered. I did, I will pass down a copy of two photographs of the umbrella stands in question. I did pass down for the benefit of council a copy of the survey of the property and the sketch provided by the applicant for the public hearing. That's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Attorney, I'm going to excuse myself for potential conflict.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Let the record indicate that Mr. Cole has recused himself from this matter. And Mr. Dukes.
Sam. Good afternoon. My name is Hal Dukes with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Richard Lynham. I find myself in an interesting position because 40 years ago today, I was working for Mr. Lynham on the beach. In any case, things have now changed a little bit. I'm trying to help him with the enterprise that we worked with over 50 years ago, 40 years ago. It's a family-owned business, and it's been part of the resort area for generations. Mr. Lynham's children now run it, and probably the children behind them will run it. It's a needed business because it meets the requirements of the resort residential industry in Rehoboth, Dewey Beach, and other areas. The umbrella stands are the ubiquitous stands you see on the beach every summer. What he does is, at the end of the season, he brings the stands off the beach and stores them at a site that's located at the corner of Hebron Road. This is a very sharp corner, and he needs to relocate some of those stands to another site. He has subsequently contracted to purchase this site, which was originally used for commercial use by Wayne Baker Oil Company, and they had gas tanks and storage there. Those tanks have subsequently been removed and the site cleaned up. The site is actually at the entranceway of Canal Corcoran, and it's located along the Hebron Road corridor, which has a checkerboard of commercial use and residential. Just down the road, there is a community center. This is a commercial use for the storage of umbrella stands only. You'll hear me use this term over and over again in this presentation. It's a soft usage. It's the softest possible commercial use you could have in this area. In response to the statements that were made earlier at the presentation to the board, we have decided to install a gate. We will have fencing around this. Originally, he had not planned to have a gate because in all his years of storing umbrella stands in that area, no incident had occurred. But because some of the protesters felt that there might be an issue, Mr. Lynham has agreed to install a gate on the site. As I said, the previous use was by Wayne Baker for the oil and gas storage there, and we have aerial photos to do that. Now, one of the concerns was safety. These are basically benign structures. They are about 8 to 10 feet high. They have been stored on that road for generations. And to my knowledge and Mr. Lyman's knowledge, there's never, ever been an incident involving safety issues. The effect on the surrounding area would be negligible for two reasons. One, you have a corridor there that has commercial use all down the corridor, and this would not reflect on the character of the neighborhood because, frankly, the people that live in the neighborhood are behind these in a residential area, not along the Hebron Road corridor. Why do we choose this site? Well, the site is there for several reasons. One, safety. It's the most practical site to store these stands that exists in Sussex County. This is the closest site that these stands can be stored on. And to bring another site into the picture and have to drive down the Route 1 corridor with these stands on the back of a trailer become impractical. Other lots are already used for this service. Stands are stored all along this road. And it's unlikely that a residential unit would be desirable at this particular site because it's on a sharp corner and it's at the very entranceway of the Canal Corcoran project. So there's a lot of activity there at that corner. The site itself for stands would only have traffic activity twice a year, when you take the stands off in the spring and put them on the beach, and when you put them back in the fall after the season's over. Therefore, there would be minimum impact for this traffic or road along there. Now, one of the doctrines we have is reasonable use. And you folks are elected officials that have to figure out what is reasonable for this area. And sometimes it's extremely difficult to do that, particularly when a lot of the emotions get involved in a situation. But the fact of the matter is that this is quite a reasonable use for this area because it lends itself to the other storage buildings already along that corridor and the commercial use across the street, which is EnviroTech, and some of the other buildings that are storage buildings. And just down the road, the community has erected a community center, which is only a few hundred feet away. This naturally is better than the previous usage, was the gas and oil storage by the Wayne Baker Group. Now, in all fairness, this is probably the very best use for this site that's conceivable now. Now, understand, this is a request for a conditional use. We can't expand that use. It's obvious to everybody in this room. This is for umbrella stand storage, and that's it. There is no reason we have any, there's no ability for us to create a 7-Eleven there or a manufacturing site or anything else. This is for the storage of umbrella stands. Now, the site plan, I think you have a copy of that, how the stands would be located on the site. The purpose of this is that the site that Mr. Lynam presently occupies on the corner when he puts all the stands in requires some of the stands to be literally in almost the setback. Now, he's been doing this for years. He needs to have more maneuvering room in the location that he presently occupies. And to do that, he's going to take some of his stands and move over to this site. Now, one of the things we'll hear is some of the people have said, well, this is not our vision of the community. Well, the community itself along the Hebron Road corridor is a commercial usage predominantly, except at the very beginning, up behind the car wash, which has some townhouses. Now, once you go off the Hebron Road corridor and you go down the side street, certainly there is some residences there. But for the organization that they have, the Lynam organization, to use this will have absolutely no impact on the residential character of the neighborhood that is behind this site, not on this site. The next door neighbor stores umbrella stands on their site. Now, we have as witnesses Mr. Lynam, who has also taken a copy of Google, thank God for Google, with an aerial photo to discuss with you the adjoining sites and his plans for usage here. So I'll introduce Mr. Richard Lynam.
Thank you. I'm Richard Lynam, 14 Lake Avenue in Rehoboth.
I think you all have a copy of this. And I acquired this property approximately 50 years ago. And I have attempted along the road where the car is a cyclone fence, and I've allowed the vines to grow there to conceal the stands as much as possible. If you look at the drawing, you'll notice that the stands are pretty compact. It has been necessary to put two almost to the street. And this was not a problem years ago because there was a railroad track running where you see the automobile. And beyond that was farming land. And so I stretched those all the way along that fence. But now it is a problem. And I mean, many times I come out there and have a problem with cars coming around the turn. And I've left the fence there. I've left the vines there to keep the stands hidden as much as possible. I need more room because the stands are so compact, it's difficult for me to drive a vehicle back there in the wintertime. And by the way, if you look there now, there is no stand. All of my stands are on the beach. So it's my proposal then to this rectangular lot that you see is to make a vinyl, solid vinyl fence with a setback of 40 feet and a gate, enclosed and put the stands inside of that. I think that it is a safety factor, an improvement. I think the vinyl fence will block the building between Mr. Katz owns in between those two. I think the vinyl fence will block that building, improve the appearance. And I think safety and appearance are two reasons why I think it's good for the community.
Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Lynam? Okay. When you look at the county site on this, it describes the land use as commercial. It's written in the county site. So in that regard, that's one of the reasons why we're here, because we'd like to continue the use, but it's a softer commercial rather than the storage of gas and oil from the Baker Group. We're just trying to store umbrella stands. We have over 25 people have signed a petition in favor of this. These are residents who live in the area. These people are familiar with the area, and they're the ones that would be living around this particular use. They know the Lynam family, they know the use, and there's nothing magic, there's no hidden agenda here. The fact of the matter is they're just trying to continue on a family operation. I think one of the residents, this is Mr. Adonis Hall, who is one of the owners of the site there and other adjoining property.
Good afternoon, members. I'm Adonis Hall. I live at 24909 Cannon Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
And I need you to show that.
Yes, when I bought this property, it was commercial. I have everything here in documents. And also, I bought it from Wilson Baker. It was used as commercial. He had above-ground storage tanks, and George Hatter, the late George Hatter, has used it later for the same thing. He rented to him. I have copies for everyone. Also, we went to the New Beginning meeting and opposed this to them first before we even thought about bringing it here, and all of them was in approval of it. Also, Mr. Lynam has been in the area for many years, and he probably don't even know this, but he had hired my brother. Amos Waples, my brother. And he also hired my cousin, Lester Shelton. He hired a bunch of people in the area to help him and done a great job. Also, There's only four or five residents on Hebron Road, and none of them here to oppose. That's residentials. Also, providing this, there's a safety issue, as Mr. Lyon stated, that from Hebron Road, the 90-angle turn, it goes around the Cunnell Point, it goes to the Glade Road, it goes to the Glade Development, and also, most of all, it goes to the Little Lake Park. And that's a very dangerous corner there. Providing the conditional use, Mr. Lyon will move the building over and clear that corner, which would be very helpful for the public and bicyclists going around there. In addition to that, I think that's about it what I have to say. Like I say, I've lived Rehoboth all my life, born and raised there, last class graduated from Rehoboth High School. In fact, I graduated with George. Did you have anything else?
Okay.
I would like to represent you, Mr. Lank.
And also show them the aerial photo, and those are umbrella stands there.
Okay, I also have an aerial photo of the property as it is of now. And then there's umbrella stands and lifeguard stands and all this thing on this property. I would like to make that clear, too, and show you what I'm trying to say. Here is the sharp 90-degree turn that goes around Hebron Road back toward the Glade, and that's a blind area there. And the property he wants, there's stands here, is right next door. Right next door there. Nothing, no problem. We'll be very fine with that. And I would like to pass that on also.
Okay. Make sure you give those to Mr. Lang.
Yes.
Thank you, Bob.
Does anybody have any questions?
What's in the piece of property between where he is today? I really want to relocate. There's a long something there. What's there?
That's where Mr. Katz stores his building, right next door. That's why it would be more convenient to put his right next door to Mr.
Katz. And those are individual.
They own that together. Those two plots are they're divided. Mr. Katz and Mr. Lyon are right side by side now. And the property he wants is right beside Mr. Katz. Right. It would make it more convenient.
Well, Mr. Katz's property has also got the same type of.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's been there for years. Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions from council? If not, do you have any more witnesses, Mr. Duke?
We do. Mr. Katz? One of the questions raised at the hearing below was whether there's a safety factor with these umbrella stands. Mr. Katz has also been in this business for generations, and in that regard, he's also stored his stands along Hebron Road, and he'll describe the issue there.
Okay. Yeah, there's two questions that he wanted me to speak on. One is, in all the years of business, there has never been a safety problem there. This property and mine next to his and mine behind his, I own, and that goes back to many years. I don't know exactly. Almost as much time as I had since I've been teaching school, since I taught school. I think it goes back 40, 50 years we bought it together. And then we divided it and flipped the coin, and I got one side and Dick got the other. This location is the best available site for the storage business, and that's what we do with it. Built a warehouse. We bought it together and we flipped, and I got the smaller end, he got the bigger end. But I got the one next to him. So I think that's the things he wanted me to point out, those two things. Okay? Thank you.
Finally, folks, I want to say that this is an issue that needs to be reasoned out. And one of the biggest problems you have in land use planning is actual reasonableness and consistency with the area. And we believe that this presentation is sufficient for you to justify a vote in favor of the conditional use that's being requested by Mr. Lynham. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dukes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Tony Johnson Corvella. I live at 3313
31 Gracie Lane, Lewis, Delaware. I too worked for Mr. Katz, or, you know, back 30 years ago, but now I run a beach cleaning business working for different towns throughout the Delaware coast. And I have one of the commercial properties across the street that I, one of the garage type buildings next to a Virotech. And I was just want to point out, across the street on Hebron Road, you know, it's all commercial and it's about four or five different businesses there. I think Envirotech's there. He does a lot of work, you know, in the county doing site management ponds or whatnot. I think he's got like 15 employees or so. The town of Dewey Beach stores their lifeguard stands there. They're across the street. They're also in the commercial area or a commercial district. I don't see any other commercial properties for sale on that street. I'm one of the owners with Adonis Hall on the Wilson Baker property also. And there's two lots there. If everything goes as planned and you grant this request, Adonis Hall will retain the lot that's on the contract to Dick Lynham, and he will use those proceeds to, you know, help his family. The other lot that is left, you know, I will retain that property and maybe build some kind of house or some kind of structure like that there also in the future.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to this request? Ma'am?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eleanor Welly. I reside at 19703 on Dunbar Street in Rehoboth, West Rehoboth. I came here to Delaware in 1968, and I remember the parcel of land that they were speaking about, the Wilson Baker. And there used to be a little lady there by the name of Mother Sanford that would always give us little kids cool pops and popsicles and things. And right beside there was in the oil refinery where we kids used to play. We used to hang out there. In the area that where Mr. Lynham wants to put his umbrella stands before the road, you know, went through there and all of that. That piece of property, you know, they don't mow, you know, through the sidewalks there. They just stop at a certain point. They don't come down. They don't mow. They don't clean that area, you know. They don't touch that area, you know, from the back of where I live. They don't even mow past my the sidewalk behind my house there. And I oppose this because of the umbrella stand that's being, you know, stored across on Herbin Road. I go to work at like 5:30 in the morning, and we have some people that do not have no home. There are some homeless people there. I have seen these people sleeping underneath these buildings. 5:30 in the morning, I see these people hanging out 5:30 in the morning, you know, just sleeping, you know, because they don't have no other places to go. Not only that, there have been, and this has been brought to planning and zoning before, you know, with prostitution going on, people doing things that ain't got no business doing there. You know, we have little children that come up and down that road, and, you know, it just not, I don't think it will be a safe place. I think it will just call more hiding place for drug dealers, those that still just trying to lurk through there, which we are trying to clean West Rehoboth up. And I think the county council people here that have put money in there. You know, I sat on a couple boards back there. I sat on the beautification committee where we were trying to plant flowers and trees and to beautify West Rehoboth once again. You know, and it's very hard to come here today to stand here, you know, and talk and to plead my case because I'm only one person. But I came with the honor and the respect of some of the resident that lives in West Rehoboth that could not be here today, that the petition that was signed, you were heard later on, I didn't sign that petition. I knew nothing of the petition. You know, I am a resident ever since 1968, you know, and I finally got my own piece of West Rehoboth that I own now. And I want to stay there, and I feel that people are coming in, the big commercial, viral text, you know, all this goop and mess that they got going on out there. It's terrible. I don't know if you've been out there. There have been snakes, you know, spotted there, little kids, you know, running the house. Mommy, mommy, there are snakes and stuff. It is like they go and dig up goo and they just, you know, they just put it back there at the Virotech thing. And I do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that if those, if you grant him that, it's going to be some drama there. It's going to be some problem. And then next thing you know, it's going to be the police call, and they're going to break in there. They're going to try to hide there. They're going to try to get in there. And believe me, they're going to get in there. They want to get in there. Whether you put a concrete wall up, which, by the way, we do have a concrete wall back in West Rehoboth also. And we have a great big mountain of dirt, you know, that just shuts us out and just blocks us in. And it's just like now, you know, the people that come in, they just dump whatever they want. Let's just put it back here in West Rehoboth. No one cares about us, you know. I want to stay in West Rehoboth. A lot of people that I grew up, that I knew, that was residents there for a very long time, they sold out, they moved on, they've gone, you know. And I haven't sold yet. I don't want to sell. I want to stay right there. I want to be able to raise my grandchildren. I would like to leave something for them also, you know. I lost a son back in West Rehoboth, you know. And I want to stay there. My mother and my father died here in West Rehoboth, and they are buried here in Delaware. I don't want to go anywhere. I have no other place that I desire to go. It's convenient, and that's why I sit on these boards here to try to fight and to help stop these things that's trying to take place, you know, in West Rehoboth. I'm familiar with Mr. Cass and Mr. Lynam also, was my math teacher, you know. It's not personal, but it is a personal, heartfelt situation, you know. I mean, nowhere else, where else you want to put it? Let's put it in Rehoboth, West Rehoboth. But nobody don't. We've been neglected for a long time. We've been shut up in this little small box. And thank God for County Council to come in, you know, and helping us out. And I commend you guys today because, you know, this falls on your shoulders here. You know, this is the decision that you have to make. And, you know, and I know it's hard, you know, being the president of West Rehoboth Committee now, you know, a lot of things come at me and I'm not familiar with it, you know, and sometimes I have a very hard time going to sleep to try to make the right decision to try to please everyone. And I know it can't be done, so I have to stand for what I believe in. And I believe today before we leave here that there will be no hard feeling and we may make the right decision, you know, concerning our little community there. And the community meeting that they had where they were talking about that, I wasn't involved in that meeting. I wasn't there at that meeting. I want to thank you all for listening to me this afternoon. God bless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Legatsky. I live at 103 South Newport Way in Dagsboro. I'm here as the president of the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, which is one of three 501c3 nonprofits that are active in West Rehoboth. Eleanor Whaley, who just spoke, was being a little bit modest, I guess. She's the president of Westside New Beginnings, which manages the children's after-school program in West Rehoboth. There's a third coalition organization called the Coalition for West Rehoboth, which is also a nonprofit, and I'm authorized to speak on their behalf as well. There are a number of things that concern us about this conditional use proposal. About 2 years ago, with a grant from Catholic Charities, the Land Trust commissioned a community revitalization study, which was prepared and finalized in February 2009. It was reviewed by the three community organizations who participated in the planning process that led up to it. It was reviewed and approved by those organizations in March of 2009. It lays out the direction that the strong majority of the people in the community want to go, and that is to basically keep West Rehoboth as a relatively low-density residential, primarily residential community. To the extent that there are commercial uses in the community, those should be compatible with residential uses, perhaps something like a convenience store or a laundromat. In the plan, this page that I'm bringing up is the proposed, the revitalization plan's proposed future zoning of the community. You'll be able to see in pale yellow the bulk of the area that is West Rehoboth would be proposed to be residential, low-density residential. There would still be a little bit of commercial use, including the parcels that show up in a sort of a green shade. We do not believe more of the type of commercial use that Mr. Lynam is asking for is good for the community. As Ms. Whaley just said, there have been problems with crime in the area where Mr. Katz has his shed stored, which is about a half block down the street from the area where this conditional use is proposed to be. There has been open-air prostitution, drug activity, homeless people sleeping in there at times, a number of things that really aren't compatible with a healthy residential community. One of our basic questions is, why West Rehoboth? Why not go to a more purely commercial storage area somewhere else? We don't frankly have a whole lot of sympathy for the idea that West Rehoboth is simply the most convenient location because it's close to the beach. I think anyone who wants to make a profit out of this kind of business can just as easily use a little bit of profit to rent land somewhere else in an area that is not even partially residential. As far as the petition that was presented to Planning and Zoning Commission with 25 names on it, what I'm bringing up now is letters from five people whose names are on that petition. The letters say that they did not sign that petition or authorize it to be signed for them. I don't know about the other 20 signatures or names. They may not be genuine signatures, but I believe that petition is highly suspect. Back to the fundamental idea that conditional use should improve a community. Well, I don't see any improvement. The community does not see any improvement from this particular conditional use. If anything, we'd prefer that the process move the other direction and that the sheds that are now stored in the community go somewhere else. Thank you. Any questions?
What's on that lot now?
That lot is vacant now.
Would it be more safer with a fence around it would without it?
Not necessarily. People can get inside a fence.
Okay.
It's an 8-foot vinyl fence as it's proposed. And vinyl isn't that strong. It can be broken through or climbed over.
Well, at least they know there's trespassing, wouldn't it?
They're trespassing anyway. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference.
Well, that is sign or anything to prevent it. They don't really. I mean, they could use it. Just something to think about.
Perhaps.
Since there are no other questions, thank you.
Thank
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, come forward, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Mabel Granke. I live in Rehoboth Beach. But I have been concerned about West Rehoboth ever since I've lived there, simply because, please, if you could just visualize this community. A lot of people don't even know it's there, because as they go by on Route 1, it's totally invisible. And now it has been walled in, actually, on two or three sides because of other development that has taken place. Yet, if you think about it, as close as it is to the beach, it is one of the last areas in coastal Sussex that can help people live there in an affordable manner and be able to get to their jobs not even needing a car. Tragically, because it is so close to the beach, it has too many people who have invested in the land who live out of state or out of the community, and are holding on to it for speculation. We have a classic example next to the community center where the gentleman owns the property, lives in Baltimore, stripped that property so that it became a drainage problem for the community center. We asked him, would he please lease it to us at least because the children are desperate for a playground, and he would not. So it sits there, nothing on it, because he's hoping that he bought it cheap and he can sell it high. Please, sometime before you make your decision, would you come down and go up Hebron Road and see what that commercial properties do to a community? There is, Mr. Katz, I'm sorry, he puts his storage bins in there, or whatever you want to call them, anyway. And it's like, it's right across from the main entrance, Burton Avenue, into West Rehoboth. And here it is saying, okay, this is my land, I'm going to throw whatever I want willy-nilly in there, and it doesn't matter how it looks. At night, that road becomes what I call a dead zone. And for a community that's trying to survive and revitalize itself, it makes it very difficult when it can become so easy for someone to come in and do mischief, particularly in the case of drugs. This community is trying to survive, and we need your help. And I hope you'll think about it as a community of people who try to live and do their job. And one of the reasons so many of them can't be here is because they're trying to hold on to a job this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes.
My name is Beth Doty, and I live in Rehoboth Beach. And I've been involved for the last few years with West Rehoboth in trying to improve, work with the people there to improve that community. It is a historically African-American community. It's over 100 years old. It has been encroached on all sides, closer and closer, with commercial going up one side of Hebron. And it is very difficult for the people there to, the visual imagery that you, when you come into that community, are these sheds which are stored there. They're in, some of them are in terrible condition, but they're just like one on top of the other or on blocks. It is a terrible way to enter a community, and I can guarantee you that any of you that live in a development would not put up with that. But this community has had to put up with this for years and years and years. We finally have an effort going there where we have probably at one community meeting, we may have 30 or 40 people. We have 15 active leaders in that community that live in that community. To try to improve it, to work with a children's program. There are a lot of volunteers that come in there and are really trying to make a difference in that community. We need to try to help to preserve the cultural heritage that is in that community. Now, you and I may not think of it as cultural heritage, but for the people that live there, for generations, they want to preserve the heritage that they've had. I hope that you all will will actually work with us as how the housing and community development has worked there through with CDBG money to help improve the houses. We've been able to leverage money from the Lewis Rehoboth Association of Churches. They have been actively involved with the housing fund, the things that we couldn't do through the stimulus money, with the weatherization and the job training program, where we've trained 8 young people in that community to do construction and weatherization, help them find jobs. Those are some of the initiatives and the work that's now being done together. There's a trust now in moving forward as a community, and I hope that you'll think about that before you have one more commercial establishment with another fence around it. That tells a lot to, says a lot to the community who's trying, the residents there now are trying to make a nice residential life for themselves, which people of privilege can afford to do for themselves. So I hope that you'll take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, I think it's appropriate to close the public hearing. And this is a matter that was deferred by the Planning and Zoning.
Okay, if there's no objection, we'll also close the public record. And I'll entertain a motion to defer.
You got it.
Second.
Motion and a second to defer until Planning and Zoning can render a decision. Is there any discussion?
Sorry.
No.
Now we'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. And the last matter on the agenda today, Mr. Lane?
Yes. Thank you. The last public hearing is conditional use number 1859, the application of the Johnson Associates, LLC. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district to confirm, clarify, and expand the historical uses of the property, including business and professional offices, landscaping, retail and wholesale sales, indoor warehousing and storage, indoor vehicle, truck and equipment repair, indoor fabrication and recycling operations, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 10.02 acres more or less, lying southeast of Route 38, also known as Prime Hook Road, 2,240 feet northeast of Route 1. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 10th of 2010. For the benefit of the council, I have just passed down copies of the exhibit booklet. It's the same exhibit booklet provided to the commission and has been on record with the application since May 27th of 2010. On May 26th of 2010, we received a letter from Eugene Byard, attorney with Wilson, Albrook & Byard, on behalf of the applicants, and referencing that the recycling activities be stricken from the application since their neighbors have expressed concern about possible odors, dust, and truck traffic created by the recycling operation. And the applicant has made that decision to eliminate that part of his application as a good neighbor. We received comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and their comments are summarized in my report. We received a letter from Thomas H. Draper of Fairfield Farms, addressed to Eugene Byard, thanking the applicant for eliminating the recycling operation and applauding the applicant's decision and now supporting the application. I'm Matt Johnson of the Johnson Associates, LLC, was present with Eugene Byard, attorney Wilson, Albrook & Byard, professional association, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. Alan Bennett was present, not necessarily opposed to the application, but stated that the property is very much improved, well kept, that he has not been contacted by the applicants, and questioning what was being wholesaled and retailed, questioning indoor storage, questioning indoor fabrication, that he was concerned about increased truck traffic and especially concerned about uses taking place at the Draper Canning site north of this site. At the conclusion of the public hearing on June 10th, the commission deferred action. On June 24th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1859 for the Johnson Associates LLC for a conditional use to confirm, clarify, and expand the historical uses of the subject property, including business and professional offices, landscaping, retail and wholesale sales, indoor warehousing and storage, indoor vehicle, truck and equipment repair, and indoor fabrication, based on the record made at the public hearing, and for the following reasons. This conditional use is simply a confirmation and clarification of prior uses that have existed on the property. Began as a cannery in 1948 and existed and expanded under that use until 1995 or 1996. There have been a series of conditional uses affecting the property, including one in 1999 for truck repair, storage yard, contract facilities, and sales offices, and a lawn care business. It was later used for construction offices, storage warehouses, truck and equipment repair, and other uses. Two, a new conditional use is appropriate since it limits the uses to what has historically existed or uses very similar to what has previously occurred and consolidates them all into one ordinance. In this case, given the location of the property and the uses on neighboring and adjacent property, the conditional use is more appropriate than a change of zone to B1 or CR1. 3, since the property is already fully developed, the conditional use will have no effect on neighboring and adjacent properties or traffic. Likewise, neither DLDOT nor the Office of State Planning Coordination has an objection to the application since the property is already fully developed. 4, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. 1, the uses shall be limited to business and professional offices, landscaping, retail, and wholesale sales, indoor warehousing and storage, indoor vehicle, truck and equipment repair, and indoor fabrication. As stated by the applicant, there shall be no recycling operations permitted on the property. 2, retail uses shall be limited to those sales directly related to the other uses permitted by this approval. Large-scale commercial or retail uses shall not be permitted on the site. 3, there shall be no fuel storage on site. 4, there shall be no Sunday hours except in the event of an emergency. 5, any waste oil generated by the vehicular repair facility shall be stored and disposed of as DENREC regulations require, using a licensed waste oil hauler. 6, the applicant shall maintain repair the place as necessary, including parking areas, buffer areas, stormwater management facilities, interior drives, and other common areas. 7, the project shall comply with all agency requirements, including but not limited to the Conservation District, DENREC, Sussex County Engineering Department, etc. 8, because the site is already fully developed with lighting, signage, security fencing, and a motor-operated gate, these shall be deemed approved as they currently exist. The applicant shall file with the commission an as-built site plan of the property depicting the location and nature of all the elements of the property and designate the parking area and interior drives on it. And 9, the final site plan containing all the information referenced above shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried with 3 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 3-0. Mr. Ross was absent. Mr. Johnson not voting since he did not participate in the public hearing. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Are there any questions? If not, Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon. I don't know where everybody went. I thought they were going to stay here to hear this application. We're kind of disappointed.
Wait, I can call them back.
Good. Mr. Burton's motion in recommending approval of this conditional use application really lays out what this is about. That's an aerial photograph. This is the old Clifton Tannery, built by Carl Clifton family in 1928. It operated successfully as a cannery until it closed in the mid-1990s. And since that time, it's been the subject of various uses and a number of conditional uses. The purpose of this application, as Mr. Burton and the commission found, is to consolidate into one conditional use the future of this property. Originally, the applicant had filed an application for a change of zone to CR1. But after serious reflection, talking to a number of neighbors, he made the decision to amend the application to an application for conditional use because, historically, spot zoning is something the county has not been particularly fond of. It's not illegal, but it's not preferred land use planning, and also because historically, Route 1 on its east side from Route 16 to Milford has never been the subject of any substantial commercial rezoning. A conditional use will accomplish the applicant's goal, and not to hurt your feeling, that goal is never to have to come back here for another conditional use. It's to get it all once under one roof. With that, I'd like to introduce Matt Johnson, a recent UD graduate with a degree in engineering, who was the son of Tim Johnson, who are the Johnson Associates. Matt, if you could briefly describe what the Johnson Associates is about.
Good afternoon, Council. Matt Johnson. The Johnson Associates, we are primarily an electrical contractor, and we do deal with commercial development, and we maintain properties and do tenant outfits and stuff of that sorts.
You acquired this property in 2006 as a result of the Len Brothers bankruptcy?
That is correct.
Since that time, can you identify some representative tenants who've occupied the property?
Currently, Building 100 is occupied by HD Supply, which wholesales pipe and fire hydrants and fittings of that sort to contractors. Building 200 is occupied by Fisher & Son, who sells fertilizers to golf courses. And Building 300, Danella, they do underground utilities. 400 and 500 and 600 are saved for later use.
And what does the Johnson Companies occupy?
We occupy the front half of Building 200 currently.
Is it correct that you have an approved Del-Dot entrance for the property?
That's correct. We have an approved entrance, two entrances for both the current entrances that are in place.
You've looked at Del-Dot's report. Is it correct that the level of service with the property is developed as level of service A?
That's correct.
There is an approved septic system on the site?
That is correct.
There's an approved well on the site?
As well.
Is it correct that the property along its perimeter along County Road 38 and to the east and the west is fenced?
That is correct.
Signage is in place. You don't need additional signage?
Correct as well.
The entrance to the property is controlled by an electronic gate, so security is not an issue?
No issues.
Such security lighting as exists is all directed inward toward the property?
Correct.
That's the application, gentlemen. It's not complicated. It's just to confirm what historically has gone on. And again, the hope is that Johnson Associates doesn't have to come back and see you again. It's to let them continue to do what they've been doing and what has been done with the property since 1996. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have.
Any questions? Seeing none, and I do not see anyone here, but for the record, is there anyone here in opposition?
But wait, a bus just pulled up.
Yep. I do not see any opposition. Mr. Byard, I would commend you that once again you kept your self-imposed time limitation on giving a presentation. Commend you for that. The public hearing is now over, and this is one that we can vote on today, Mr. President.
We will also close the public record, and if it's okay with council, we'll ask the attorney to read the title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to confirm, clarify, and expand the historical uses of the property, including business and professional offices, landscaping, retail and wholesale sales, indoor warehouse, housing and storage, indoor vehicle, truck and equipment repair, indoor fabrication and recycling operations to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 10.0238 acres more or less, subject to the following conditions. The uses shall be limited to business and professional offices, landscaping, retail, and wholesale sales, indoor warehousing and storage, indoor vehicle, truck, and equipment repair, and indoor fabrication. As stated by the applicant, there shall be no recycling operation permitted on the property. Two, retail uses shall be limited to those sales directly related to the other uses permitted by this approval. Large-scale commercial or retail uses shall not be permitted on the site. Three, there shall be no fuel storage on the site. Four, there shall be no Sunday hours except in the event of emergency. Five, any waste oil generated by the vehicular repair facility shall be stored and disposed of as DENREC regulations require, using a licensed waste oil hauler. Six, the applicant shall maintain, repair the places necessary, including parking areas, buffer areas, stormwater management facilities, interior drives, and other common areas. Seven, the project shall comply with all agency requirements, including but not limited to Sussex Conservation District, DENREC, Sussex County Engineering Department, etc. Eight, because the site is already fully developed with lighting, signage, security fencing, and a motor-operated gate, these shall be deemed approved as they currently exist. The applicant shall file with the commission an as-built site plan of the property, depicting the location and nature of all of the elements of the property, and designate the parking area and interior drives on it. 9, the final site plan containing all of the information referenced above shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Can I get a motion to that?
Yeah, make a motion. We adopt the ordinance with the conditions.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt conditional use 1859 with the conditions. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
And I vote yes with conditions as stated, and for the reasons stated by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes. I don't really see we're going to be too much problem to anybody. The last place, last time I was there, it was way out in the boondocks. And in fact, I was, I followed sweet corn in that place a few times. Whatever happened to the equipment you had there? That's enough of that. Go ahead.
Mr. Cole?
I was getting interested in that story. I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Mr. Vincent?
With the conditions and on the recommendation of our very astute Planning and Zoning Commission.
Astute.
I vote yes.
I vote yes. Appropriate use with the conditions. Motion carried.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Now, wait, I think this gentleman over here was going to oppose it, and he was a little late. Sorry, sir. You missed. Oh, is he? You're the bus driver? Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Anything else from council? Entertain a motion.
Motion adjourned.
Second, please. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's what Robin was waiting for.
That's 2 weeks vacation. Yeah, it is.